Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, Joe Biden has been summoned to the Vatican for October 29th meeting as Pope Francis prepares for the Chrislam summit at the UN. President Joe Biden will meet Pope Francis at the Vatican on October 29th, the White House announced yesterday. He will be in Rome to attend the G20 Leaders Summit held October 30th and 31st before traveling to Glasgow November 1st and 2nd to take part in the COP26 climate change gathering. What's on the agenda, you ask? How about the one world religion of Chrislam? And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Revelation 13:11-12. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, Pope Francis is having a phenomenally busy couple of weeks now, what with gathering together the leaders of the world's religions last week in preparation of the UN COP26 Climate Conference, where he will be a keynote speaker, there to preach the Gospel of Gaia, meeting with Nancy Pelosi, giving her the Masonic handshake, and now we learn pretend President Joe Biden has been summoned for further instruction. Little Frankie is a busy boy these days, so you should expect a meeting with Emmanuel Macron as well. Mark your end times prophecy calendar for the dates October 31st through November 7th. Make a fresh batch of popcorn and pull up a seat to watch the global launch of the One World Religion at the United Nations. Today on the podcast, we break it all down for you, as well as updates from the ongoing global revolt against COVID vaccine mandates. There's never a dull moment on the front lines of the end times. Glad you're with us today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We pray for salvation for Sarah and Rebecca Jacobs, Greg and Melissa Price, Glenn Clark, Cheyenne, Bridget, and Tony, and Trevor. We pray a healing, Lord, for Rob Beatty, who he's been homesick with COVID for the last 6 days now. He said yesterday wasn't good, but steadily improved. Believe it or not, I slept 7 hours straight. And then he talks about having fevers and sweats. He says, thank you all for your prayer and support. Amen. Sammy in South Africa battling leukemia. Harmon's son Michael battling pancreatic cancer. Clayton Perry battling cancer. Jesse Spurlock. Betsy Markovich, cancer. Paul Kreitz, healing from a heart attack. Patty Rogowski's husband Jerry had a biopsy that turned out to be an aggressive form of cancer and is waiting to see if it spread. We're going to pray for Patty's husband, Jerry, today. Hal needs a lung transplant. Marie Comfort is experiencing leg pain. And she wants prayer as she prays about starting a home church. Lori Ann has an unspoken. Suzanne Wood, battling depression, diabetes, high blood pressure, and pancreatitis. Jeanette's mom has an unspoken prayer. Please remember our overseas pastors, Pastor John Ree, Pastor Danny, Pastor Arnell in the Philippines, Pastor Fojon in Vietnam, and our street preachers, Kentucky Jeffrey in Ohio, Kyle Gorzel in Baton Rouge, Jason Gaskins in Virginia, Joshua Gaskins in Virginia. I got so many screens open right now, I don't even know if I can remember my own name at this point. Mike Hensel, called to preach. We rejoice when we see people getting called to the ministry. Karen says, good afternoon, church family. Please pray for me for singleness and the struggles that go along with that. Amen. I think a lot of us know about that struggle. And she says, prayers for my mom, and she's getting up in age. Shannon Kay said, unspoken prayer request. Lulu said, dad doing not well. Prayers, please. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we come before you as a church family, Lord. And we ask you, April says, Joshua Gaskins is street preaching right now. And Lord, give him power. Kyle just messaged me a few minutes ago. He's going to be preaching on the streets 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. And so we pray for Kentucky Jeffrey and Kyle and Joshua and all the NTEB street preachers, that God will give you power and protection and provision. And Lord, we ask you to lead us and guide us through these prophetic times that we live in. Lord, we thank you for the King James Bible. We thank you for the scripture of truth, where you have preserved your word. We thank you for every good and perfect gift that comes down from heaven, Lord. Wash us clean today, Father God. All these prayers for healing, people battling cancer and sickness and COVID and illness and leukemia and disease. Little Samantha in South Africa, 14 years old, Lord. She needs a healing. She needs salvation. And we pray for both. So, Father God, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we thank you, we praise you, and commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. This is turning out to be a little bit of a birthday week this week. We want to wish our brother Thomas Santos. He just turned 17 a couple of days ago, and we'd like to wish a very happy and special birthday to our very own note taker and scripture poster, Jeanette. Happy, happy, happy birthday.
It's your birthday. It's the day that you were born. It's the day your mama brought you home.
Amen.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. I'm going to celebrate with you. Happy birthday. And just celebrate.
Happy birthday.
Tell everybody.
Happy birthday.
Come on, y'all.
Happy birthday.
Come on, let's celebrate.
Happy birthday.
On your birthday.
Happy birthday.
Come on, y'all.
Happy birthday.
Hey.
And many more.
And many, 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 many.
Happy birthday, Thomas, and happy birthday, Jeanette. And what would be the greatest birthday present of all? The pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. How about you? Are you ready for that blessed hope? I'm ready for that blessed hope. The Bible says this, talking about our salvation, Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 11. And that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Amen and amen. The Apostle Paul says, and that now, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed. What is the Apostle Paul talking about here? The Apostle Paul is talking about we live with a ticking clock, a ticking end times prophetical clock. And that clock only has so much time on it. Have you ever watched a football, basketball, baseball, soccer game? And they have what's called the play clock. And the play clock tells you how much time you have left. And when the play clock runs out, time is over. The Apostle Paul is reminding us in Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, that now, right now, here in 2021, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Why? For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The other day we launched, on Wednesday, we launched an amazing billboard in downtown St. Augustine. And Jesus says that if he be lifted up, he will draw all men unto himself. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. So this new billboard that we just put up, it shows Jesus Christ lifted up with the inscription over his head in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews. And I want you to pray for this billboard. I know we pray for all of our billboards, but I want you to pray specifically for this billboard. It just went up Wednesday. And here in St. Augustine, we're getting ready next month to have something called Nights of Lights. 3 million lights are going to be lit up all over town. And Nights of Lights is going to go from November 20th to February 2nd. And they estimate 1 to 2 million people will come from out of town, from all over the country, from around the world. Millions of tourists are going to come to St. Augustine to go downtown for Nights of Lights. And when they drive downtown, they're going to see this billboard. So I want you to pray for this billboard. That specifically at this time of the year, Christmas time coming up, and for the millions of people who are going to drive past this billboard, I want you to pray that this billboard would begin to bear fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an expensive billboard, so I need you guys to continue to support the NTEB Billboard Witness Program. By the time this billboard comes down in 3 months, we'll have spent $5,000 for this one billboard alone. I want you to pray for this. I want you to pray that souls will get saved. I want you to pray that many, many, many people will begin to donate to our NTEB Gospel Witness Billboard Program. It's an expensive outreach, but it bears fruit. We get people coming into the bookstore all the time, saved and lost people, because they saw the billboard in downtown St. Augustine. We have, I can't remember how many we have up right now. I think we have 3 up right now in downtown St. Augustine. So I want you to pray for this outreach that we have. I want you to pray that people will get saved. I want you to pray that people will come into the bookstore so that the evangelization can continue. And it's not just lost people. It's people who don't understand the importance of why we use the King James Bible to the exclusion of all other versions. They come into the store too. So please continue to pray for this aspect of our ministry. It's an expensive ministry, and we can only do it because you guys pray for it, and let's be honest, you guys donate. Without that, we couldn't do it. So please continue to give, and please continue to give generously. It's expensive. All right, welcome to today's podcast. Joe Biden summoned to the Vatican. He's got to go. Nancy Pelosi was there last week. We told you about that. You know, every time I see these people, Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, whoever, I really struggle to think of these people as human beings. I know that they're lost souls that Jesus died for, but let me explain what I mean to you. Let me explain. Aunt Nancy is asking, if we give to Waygiver, are those proceeds going to the billboards? Yes. When people donate, if they specifically say that there's an area that they would like to help out in, we apply that specifically to that area. If people donate generally, then we split the money between the billboard program and the free Bible and gospel tract program. A lot of the times it's easier for us if you give us the ability to decide where your donation will go. And we put it towards the program that has the greatest need at the time that you donate. I told you a couple nights ago that just in the last 5 months, we've spent over $36,000 handing out free Ruckman Reference Bibles around the world. Just under 1,500 Ruckman Reference Bibles. So I hope, Aunt Nancy, that answered your question. Getting back to Nancy Pelosi, I understand that people like Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi, Mark Zuckerberg, these are all people that Jesus died for, and I get that. But honestly, when I look at their faces sometimes, and I'm not really a reptilian conspiracy theory person, many of you may be familiar with the conspiracy theory that reptilian creatures are dwelling among us and they have taken on human form, right? And Mark Zuckerberg, a lot of the times when you look at his face, he definitely looks like a reptilian. There's no doubt about that. But I'm not really a subscriber to the reptilian conspiracy theory, other than, I'll give you a little bit of a caveat with that. We've shown you, back in 2018, we published a story, an absolutely incredible article, that shows you that the papal audience hall at the Vatican was built in the shape of a serpent. It was built in the shape of a reptile. Now, why would the Roman Catholic Church do that? Why would the Roman Catholic Church build the papal audience hall in the shape of a reptile? Especially a reptile that looks exactly like the snake that tempted Eve in the garden. They spent millions of dollars. And if you've ever looked at the throne that they have in the papal audience hall that's shaped like a reptile, this throne is in front of this really scary bronze statue of what they say is Jesus Christ, but it looks like a statue of a man who is being tormented by demons. What that has to do with the Christian church, I have no idea. Nothing. But what that has to do with the Roman Catholic Church, man, oh man, everything, everything. So I'm not a subscriber to the reptilian conspiracy theory controversy, but I know for a fact that the Papal Audience Hall in the Vatican is built like the head of a snake, so that when the Pope sits in that really scary looking throne in front of this statue of what they say is Jesus Christ being tormented by demons, the Pope, when he addresses the audience, is speaking from the mouth of the serpent. Are you starting to see the point that I'm driving at? And this isn't even conspiracy theory. You can go to nowtheendbegins.com and just type in the word reptile, and this article will pop right up. Genesis 3:1 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said." That's the serpent. Then you go to Job chapter 41. Job chapter 41, we see the serpent again. Job 41:31. Talking about Leviathan, he maketh the deep to boil like a pot, he maketh the sea like a pot of ointment, he maketh a path to shine after him, one would think the deep to be hoary. Upon earth there is not his like, who is made without fear. He beholdeth all high things, he is a king over all the children of pride. And then go to Revelation chapter 12. I'm going to get to the Pope in just a minute, but, well, I kind of think I already am. Revelation chapter 12, verse 3 and 4. "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born." Go to Revelation 13:1. Revelation 13:1. "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority." I want you to think about that picture of the Pope sitting on that throne in front of that statue of Jesus with all the demons picking at him. "And the dragon gave him his power and his seat with great authority." The dragon, of course, is the devil. The beast, of course, is Antichrist. Is the Pope the false prophet? Sure looks like it. Time will tell, of course. So, Pope Francis met with Nancy Pelosi last week, and he gave her the Masonic right hand of fellowship. Kind of interesting how you really, once you get deep into the occult and deep into Satanism and deep into the Roman Catholic Church, that's Masonry, Freemasonry, pops up every single time. It's an amazing coincidence, don't you think? I think it's an incredible coincidence. I think it's such an incredible coincidence that it's not a coincidence. That's what I think. Well, we told you back on October 3rd, we told you that Pope Francis, he's been invited to be the keynote speaker at the United Nations Climate Change Conference. And I heard, I wasn't able to verify it, but I heard something this morning that he may not be attending in person. He might be doing it through a Zoom call. I'm not really sure about that. I didn't have time to investigate before the podcast started, but I will check on that and get back to you. But either way, Pope Francis has been, he's been preparing to launch the one world religion of Chrislam upon the earth. And he has made incredible progress. Unbelievable progress. And we told you back on October 3rd that Pope Francis called together 40 leaders of the world's religions, and he brought them to the Vatican to give them instructions to make sure that they are all on the same page, in the same mind. I guess you would want to paraphrase Acts chapter 2, where Acts chapter 2 says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." And that's what Pope Francis did, it's almost 2 weeks ago now. He gathered together leaders from Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, Confucianism, Taoism, you name it, he brought them in. Take a listen to this. Religious leaders call for a new climate deal. This was just a couple of days ago at the Vatican, inside the Snakehead.
Religious leaders from around the world have issued a joint appeal for international politicians to agree to a new global deal to combat climate change. Christian, Buddhist, Muslim and Jewish leaders were among those attending the gathering at the Vatican hosted by the Pope. For their part, the faith leaders made a commitment to educating and influencing their followers about climate change. The BBC's Mark Lowen is in Rome.
They came from across the planet. Faith leaders urging politicians to save it.
They came from across the planet. Faith leaders urging politicians to save the earth. Now let me ask you something. How stupid does a person have to be when they hear something like, "Faith leaders gather at the Vatican to ask politicians to save the earth"? Does anybody else have a problem with that statement? Faith leaders gather at the Vatican to ask politicians to save the earth. It feels like I'm living inside a Chick Track right now. You know those gospel tracts from Chick Publishing? And we sell them at the bookstore at BibleBeliever.com. But if you've ever spent any time reading a Chick gospel tract, Jack Chick would get pretty wild. He would get pretty far out there. And Jack Chick made a lot of enemies over the years because his gospel tracts were so crazy, over the top. Well, guess what? In 2021, a Chick gospel track is not crazy anymore. It's prophetic. In 2021, a Chick gospel track is not over the top. It's barely keeping up. I'm going to start this clip over again. And I want you to listen and think about what this announcer from the BBC is saying, faith leaders from around the world gather at the Vatican to ask politicians to save the earth. Really? Are these faith leaders so powerless that they're going to corrupt politicians and asking corrupt politicians to do what only God can do? And guess what? God's not going to save the earth. God's going to destroy the earth. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 5. No, let's start in verse 3. 2 Peter 3:3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth, standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. And here it is, I said all that to say this. But the heaven and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Does anybody else find it odd that the world's faith leaders gather in a snake's head, in the reptile's mouth, at the Vatican, to ask politicians to save the earth? Let's try this clip again.
Religious leaders from around the world have issued a joint appeal for international politicians to agree to a new global deal to combat climate change. Christian, Buddhist, Muslim and Jewish leaders were among those attending the gathering at the Vatican hosted by the Pope. For their part, the faith leaders made a commitment to educating and influencing their followers about climate change. The BBC's Mark Lowen is in Rome.
They came from across the planet. Faith leaders urging politicians to save it. Christian and Jewish, Buddhist and Muslim, Taoist and Confucian, signing a joint appeal to world leaders who'll meet at the COP26 in Glasgow to commit to net zero emissions, to limit the temperature rise to 1.5 degrees, to support poorer countries. A Pope who has focused on environmental concern and an Archbishop with this warning.
Our abuse, our war against the climate, affects the poorest among us. Reconciliation with creation, in obedience to our Creator, proclaims the love of God. The world has just enough time to get this right.
In return, the signatories say they'll educate their faithful, spreading the message of climate awareness. The document was handed to Alok Sharma, the COP president, to take to next month's summit.
So here you have the world's religious leaders, and they're gathering together to ask politicians to save the planet. A planet that I just told you God is going to burn up. I don't know about you, but it feels like we're living in the bizarro world. And you heard that man say, that bishop. He said that we show the love of God when we care for our planet. Is that found anywhere in the Bible? Anywhere in the Bible does God relate caring for the planet to be equal with how God shows his love? Because when I go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, and it talks about the love of God and how that love is demonstrated. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So here you have Pope Francis gathering together Buddhists, Jews, Muslims, atheists, agnostics, the whole beastly bunch. The name of Jesus Christ is never mentioned, not one time. And they're gathering together in the mouth of a snake to ask politicians to save the planet. Does anybody else find that to be strange? The world's faith leaders gathering together in the mouth of a snake to ask politicians, corrupt human politicians, to save the planet that God's going to burn up.
Telling us the faith leaders are an essential resource.
The message from them has been very clear. This is a critical moment for the world. And the message was one of the head and the heart. The scientists telling us the message from the head is very clear, is that it is humanity that is creating climate change and we need to act now. And the message of the heart is about morality.
The call is urgent. Man-made climate change and fossil fuels have prompted the warmest decade on record with floods, fires and heat waves. This may be the last chance to halt the damage.
Religion and science don't always go hand in hand. Climate change deniers are sometimes fueled by religious conservatives. But with research finding 84% of people around the globe identify with a faith, world leaders know that those meeting here today have a chance of getting their followers to change their behaviour. Mark Lowen, BBC News at the Vatican.
Well, at the British Embassy in the Holy See in Rome is the Reverend Graham Usher, Anglican Bishop of Norwich. Bishop Graham began life as an ecologist and was appointed lead bishop on the environment by the Archbishop of Canterbury earlier this year. Thank you very much, Reverend, for joining us here on the programme. Just tell us a little bit more about the significance of this event.
Well, it was a hugely historical event, probably unique in gathering together leaders of world faith communities, probably representing together about 80% of the world's population, all in one room in the Vatican this morning. So the Pope, the Ecumenical Patriarch, the Archbishop of Canterbury, and then leaders of all the major faith communities across the world, with a very common message that we need to work together as a world community to combat climate change, to change the way we live and operate, and draw from the wisdom of our religious traditions to live more simpler lives on this single island planet home of ours.
There you have it. To draw from the traditions. You know what the Bible has to say about traditions? Nothing good. The Roman Catholic Church has gathered together the world's faith leaders. And why is Pope Francis doing this? Well, let me tell you somebody else that Pope Francis met with last week. Like we said at the start of the program, Pope Francis has been a very busy boy this week. He had a private closed-door meeting with the Grand Imam of Al-Sharif, Ahmed Al-Tayeb. And Pope Francis, that's the man that Pope Francis signed the Declaration of Human Fraternity with back in February of 2019. Well, he made a reappearance at the Vatican back on October 5th. And Pope Francis called his gathering Faith and Science. And if you remember, we told you back in 2019 that Pope Francis created a document called the Declaration of Human Fraternity. And he signed it with this Islamic imam in Abu Dhabi. And everybody got all excited about that. But as what happens with most exciting headlines, a new and more exciting headline comes along and replaces it, and people forget all about it. But Pope Francis hasn't forgotten about it. Pope Francis has been working day and night to bring to pass the one world religion of Chrislam. And last week he met with the Grand Imam. It says here, both leaders discussed the religious, humanitarian, and moral issues that haunt the world today and the challenges posed by changes and events on the global scene. They also expressed their keenness to continue the constructive dialogue and joint cooperation they started together, which produced the historic document, the Declaration of Human Fraternity. And so, Pope Francis, all month long, he's been meeting with these leaders, and now he has told Joe Biden that it's his turn to come to the Vatican to kiss the ring of the Pope and receive instructions as to what's going to happen next. Nobody seems to have much of a problem with the fact that the Catholic Church is supposed to be very much against abortion. And yet, the leader of the Catholic Church, the man that they say is infallible, the man that when they call him Holy Father, they commit blasphemy, because Holy Father is a name of God. If you call any human being on earth Holy Father, you're committing blasphemy, not blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Actual blasphemy of God the Father. John 17:11 says, "And I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." Holy Father is what Jesus Christ calls God. If you call a human being Holy Father, that is blasphemy. So if you're a Roman Catholic, you might want to think about that. And that's a title that when Catholics call the Pope Holy Father, they think they're doing a good thing and they feel very holy and reverential. Oh, here comes the Holy Father. And every time you say that, you're committing blasphemy. You are giving the name of God to a human being. Very, very bad to do. So Joe Biden has been summoned to the Vatican. I wonder what they're going to talk about. Are they going to talk about Joe Biden's relentless push for third-term abortion? That might be a good topic, but it's a funny thing. When Nancy Pelosi, who is also highly in favor of third-term abortion, she's in favor of due-date abortion, as is Joe Biden. Pope Francis had nothing but the warmest smile to give to Nancy Pelosi. And not one word of rebuke for her position on abortion. Have you ever asked yourself why? I mean, Pope Francis is supposed to be the vicar of Christ. He's the Holy Father, right? And when he sits in his throne and makes a religious pronouncement, Roman Catholic doctrine says that the Roman pontiff is infallible. And yet this infallible Holy Father, Vicar of Christ, the human representative of Jesus Christ on the earth, has not one word of rebuke for Nancy Pelosi's love of due date abortion. Not one word. Why does nobody find that odd? I find that very, very odd. So Joe Biden's going to come to the Vatican on October 29th, and then he's going to go to the G20 conference, and then he's going to go to the UN climate change conference. And what do you think Joe Biden's going to talk about? Well, I have a little bit of an idea what he might say. Take a listen to this.
Today, I want to provide a brief update on my plan that announced in early September to accelerate the path out of this pandemic. It's working. We're making progress. Nationally, daily cases are down 47%. Hospitalizations are down 38% over the past 6 weeks. Over the past 2 weeks, most of the country has improved as well. Case rates are declining in 39 states, and hospital rates are declining in 38 states. We're down to 66 million, still an unacceptably high number of unvaccinated people, from almost 100 million in July. That's important. It's important progress. But it's not, now's not the time to let up. We have a lot more to do. We're in a very critical period as we work to turn the corner on COVID-19. First, we have to do more to vaccinate the 66 million unvaccinated people in America. It's essential. The vaccine requirements that we started rolling out in the summer are working.
So Joe Biden says, as COVID rates are plummeting across America, they have dropped by almost 60% here in Florida. Joe Biden says that we need to vaccinate more people as COVID rates are dropping. He doesn't give a reason why, though. And he doesn't ever mention that fully vaccinated people die all the time from COVID. He never likes to talk about that. And so even though that the COVID rates are dropping, the Biden administration is relentless in their push to vaccinate every single human being. Doesn't matter whether they want it or not. Doesn't matter whether they need it or not. Everybody has to be vaccinated because COVID. The other day, WTAP headline story, fully vaccinated man dies from COVID-19 after spending a month in the hospital. He wasn't sick with anything other than COVID. He didn't have any pre-existing conditions. He received the Johnson & Johnson vaccine in March. Then he spent 4 weeks in the hospital with COVID, and he died. You know that there's thousands and thousands of people just like this man, but you won't hear about it from the mainstream media. Every once in a while, a story slips through, but there's a lot of fully vaccinated people who got really bad side effects. People have written to me. I won't mention their names. But people have written to me saying that they have been vaccinated and they nearly died and they developed blood clots and they had heart issues and they have family members who got vaccinated and had a stroke. Mainstream media won't talk about that. keep on getting vaccinated. Don't pay attention to the COVID rates, because we only talk about the COVID rates when they're high. We only talk about the COVID rates when there's an outbreak. But when COVID rates start to drop, they don't talk about COVID rates anymore.
The Labor Department is going to soon be issuing an emergency rule for companies with 100 or more employees to implement vaccination requirements among their workforce. Every day, we see more businesses implementing vaccination requirements, and the mounting data shows that they work. Businesses and organizations that are implementing requirements are seeing their vaccination rates rise by an average of 20%.
So here you have Joe Biden telling you that it is now a requirement. But I want to ask you something. When did they pass a law saying that you had to be vaccinated? There are no vaccination requirements other than what they're simply making up as they go along. In Italy today, thousands of people turned out in Italy and they are protesting very strict rules and regulations about the COVID immunity passport. Protesters gathered at the Italian ports and thousands took to the streets today against the introduction of one of the world's toughest COVID pass regimes. More than 6,500 people demonstrated at the northeastern port of Trieste, according to local officials. From Friday, all workers must show a green pass offering proof of vaccination or face being declared absent without pay. And this in a nation where 85% of Italians over the age of 12 have already received a minimum of one shot. Most of them have received two shots already. You have a country that is 85% vaccinated. Remember, they told you that you only had to hit 70% and that would get you to herd immunity. Well, that turned out not to be true, because there is no herd immunity at 60, 70, 80, 90, or even 100%. So Joe Biden's going to be going to the Vatican, and he's going to be going to the G20 conference, and then he's going to be going to the COP26. And he's going to be pushing the gospel of COVID vaccinations. He's going to be pushing the gospel of the one world religion of Chrislam. And he's going to be the mouthpiece for Pope Francis. Pope Francis has never criticized Joe Biden for his stance on abortion. Pope Francis is not expected to even discuss Joe Biden's position on abortion when he comes to the Vatican on the 29th to meet in the head of the snake. This is where the world is right now. If you're wondering what's happening in the world of prophecy right now, well, it's nothing less than the one world religion being assembled while you watch. When you have the Roman Catholic Pope bringing together all the apostate religious leaders of the world, and they are unified with one voice and one consent, where do you think you are? Well, you're smack dab in the book of Revelation. That's where you are. Now, we didn't invent the term Chrislam. At least I don't think we did. But we were definitely one of the very first people to tell you about the one world religion of Chrislam. Rick Warren got the ball rolling back in 2001. And then Rick Warren, he passed off to Pope Francis in 2013. And then in 6 short years, Pope Francis has been able to do an amazing work in bringing together the one world religion of Chrislam. And that's what he's been doing all month long at the Vatican. Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, all these different religious leaders. They're all working towards the same goal.
Authenticity, humility. Pope Francis is the perfect example of this. He's doing everything right. You see, people will listen to what we say if they like what they see. Mm-hmm. And as our new pope, he was very, very symbolic in, you know, his first mass with people of AIDS, kissing of the disformed man, his loving the children, this authenticity, this humility, the caring for the poor. This is what the whole world expects us Christians to do. And when they go, oh, that's what a Christian does. In fact, there's a headline here in Orange County, and I love the headline. I saved it. It said, if you love Pope Francis, you'll love Jesus.
That was a headline?
That was a headline. Oh. It was a headline. I saved it. I showed it to a group of priests that was.
So you should know by now how deep this deception goes. It goes all the way to the bone. It goes all the way down into the pit of hell. And we have gotten so far down the end times timeline that we are literally watching these events come to pass on a daily basis. So Joe Biden's going to go to the Vatican. He's been summoned and he's going to get his marching orders. America doesn't tell the Vatican what to do. The Vatican tells America what to do. Joe Rogan, he had an interview with Dr. Sanjay Gupta, and it went viral. Joe Rogan called out CNN. Now, I don't watch CNN, so... And most of you don't watch CNN. But just to let you know, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, he's one of those celebrity doctors. And Dr. Sanjay Gupta is the official medical voice of CNN. And Joe Rogan had Dr. Sanjay Gupta, the official medical voice of CNN, on his program the other day. And... he hit that guy so hard about COVID. I want you to take a listen to this. This clip is called Joe Rogan Cancels the Cancelers.
Add CNN to the list of things Joe Rogan now owns. I speak of CNN's chief medical correspondent, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, who admitted to Joe Rogan that it was wrong for the network, including Don Lemon and Jim Acosta, to claim Rogan took horse dewormer as a COVID treatment. Last month, Rogan announced he tests positive for the virus and had been prescribed several drugs to fight it, including ivermectin. Now that drug is FDA approved for use in humans for certain infectious diseases, and the formula for animal use is much more concentrated. But that's not what Rogan was taking. But CNN didn't care and lied about it and said Rogan was taking horse pills. On Wednesday, he called them out.
They're lying at your network about people taking human drugs versus drugs from veterinary.
Calling it a horse dewormer is not a flattering thing. I get
it's
that.
It's a lie. It's a lie on a news network. You're talking about a drug that's been given out to billions and billions of people, a drug that was responsible for one of the inventors of it making
the Nobel Prize
in 2015.
15, yeah.
Why would they lie and say that's horse dewormer? I can afford people medicine. This is ridiculous.
So Joe Rogan is interviewing CNN's Dr. Sanjay Gupta, and
What you may not know when you hear this clip is Sanjay Gupta was one of the people on CNN who said that Joe Rogan was taking horse dewormer. And here he's on the spot. He had no idea that Joe Rogan was actually going to ask him real questions. And Joe Rogan is demanding for Dr. Sanjay Gupta, the medical voice of CNN, to explain why they lied intentionally and with malice aforethought. He is asking Sanjay Gupta, why do you people lie? And let's see what Dr. Sanjay Gupta has to say about that.
It's just a lie.
I don't think anyone is thick.
But don't you think that a lie like that is dangerous on a news network when you know that they know they're lying? You know that they know that I took medicine. Like, here it is. This is ivermectin.
You got
this
it right here.
Somebody gave it to me.
All right, hang on. The thing is, we're like going so fast.
Yes, we are going so fast. But Rogan didn't let up.
Do you think that's a problem, that your news network lies?
Well, I don't think.
Dude.
What did they say?
They lied. What did they say? I was taking horse dewormer. First of all, it was prescribed to me by a doctor.
Yeah.
Along
they
with
shouldn't have said
a
it was
bunch
horse.
Of if, other if medications.
Was, if you got a human pill, because there were people that were taking it, the veterinary medication, and you're not, obviously. You got it from a doctor, so that it shouldn't be called that. Ivermectin can be a very effective medication. They shouldn't have said that.
Why did they do that?
I don't know.
You didn't ask? You're the medical guy over there.
I didn't ask. I should have asked before coming on the podcast.
But they did it with such glee.
No.
Yes,
no.
I watched.
So that's what happens, and I want you all to pay attention to that, because that's what happens when the liars in the mainstream media are confronted with the truth, when they are confronted with their own lie. And here you had Joe Rogan demanding Dr. Sanjay Gupta from CNN explain to him why they lie about things like ivermectin on CNN. And Sanjay Gupta had no answer of any kind. He stuttered and he hemmed and he hawed. He had nothing to say. He didn't admit responsibility. He didn't take responsibility. He didn't apologize. So I want you to understand something. I want you to understand who your enemy is and the tactics that they use when they're battling against you. They don't ever play fair. They don't ever use logic or reason. They don't ever really use science. They don't apologize when you catch them. They don't take it back. They don't say, well, we agree to disagree. They don't admit that you've caught them in yet another lie. And these are the people that control the mainstream media. And that is why you see in your news feed every single day the one story of a person dying from COVID, and their dying words are, I wish I would have taken the vaccine. That's the story that they run every single day. They don't show you the people who take the vaccine and get blood clots. They don't show you the people who take the vaccine and then they die of a heart attack. They don't ever show you those people. Seems a long time ago now, right? Boxing legend, Marvelous Marvin Hagler. He went out and he got his vaccine like he was told to do. And we wrote about this in March of this year. So it's only been about 6 months. But doesn't it seem like it was about 10 years ago? So much has gone on. So much has happened. But for those of you who read the story, boxing legend marvelous Marvin Hagler, well, he went out and he got his vaccine. He wanted to be a good boy. And then mere days after, I think it was the same weekend, actually, mere days after getting his vaccine, Marvin Hagler was rushed to the hospital where he died of a heart attack. How about baseball legend hammering Hank Aaron? I remember watching baseball the night that Hank Aaron beat Babe Ruth's home run record. But on January 23rd of 2021, we reported to you after Hank Aaron was publicly photographed with a smile on his face, behind a mask, of course, receiving the COVID-19 vaccine, 14 days later, Hank Aaron would be dead. Well, I published that story, and Facebook suspended me. I published the story about Marvin Hagler, and Instagram removed it immediately. They don't want the truth coming out. So, when you listen to Joe Rogan talking with the CNN medical doctor, and Joe Rogan is looking the man straight in the eye and telling him or asking him, why are you people lying? He admitted nothing. He confessed to nothing. He apologized for nothing. So, it is up to you and it is up to me to find the truth from other sources than the mainstream media, because the mainstream media is not going to give you the truth. Haven't you ever felt, man, I wish I could just confront those people face to face. I wish I could sit down at a table and talk to somebody from CNN and ask them why. Well, Joe Rogan did just that. He looked the man right in the eye and said, why are you lying? Why does CNN lie? No response. No confession, no apology. And then they go right back on CNN and they continue to lie. So, on the Monday podcast, I got all riled up. Holy Spirit got a hold of me, talking about religious exemptions. I was talking with a buddy of mine yesterday, and we both came to the same conclusion that a religious exemption is not the same thing as turning to your boss and saying, no, I will not be taking the COVID-19 vaccine. A religious exemption is something completely different. And I really think that it is important that Christians, if you say that you're a Bible-believing Christian, this is your time to make a stand for the Lord, for the Bible, for the gospel. This is your time to turn to a lost and dying world and tell them the truth. Hiding behind a religious exemption is not the same thing as standing up and saying, I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to do it. This is wrong. They've been battling out in Texas with the airlines. Airline pilots are saying, no, we are not going to be subject to a vaccine mandate. And so we're seeing pockets of people across America and around the world who are beginning to stand up to the ever-increasing vaccine mandates. But as we already pointed out to you, 200,000 people protested in France, but 6 million people quietly went out and got the vaccine. So while the 200,000 protest looks really, really good on TV, it doesn't really amount to much when 6 million people in the same country go out and meekly receive the vaccine. And as we get farther and farther down the road, more and more information is coming out that the vaccine does not prevent symptoms. It doesn't stop COVID. Doesn't stop you from going to the hospital. It doesn't stop you from dying of COVID. And they have no facts and figures to prove that the vaccine can do anything that they claim that it does. They tell you that if somebody who was vaccinated gets COVID and then they do well, they give credit because they took the vaccine. But on the other side of the coin, if somebody who is not vaccinated, like Joe Rogan, does not take the vaccine, takes ivermectin, and overcomes COVID in 3 days, no credit of any kind is given. So you need to understand that they do not have any empirical proof that the COVID vaccine stops anybody from dying of COVID-19. That's the claim that they make, but there is no proof to support that. So the other thing that you need to be aware of, most people who go shopping on a regular basis, they're already aware of it, but how many of you are starting to see empty shelves in the supermarkets and drugstores and retail locations where you live? Let me see a show of hands in the chat room of people who are starting to see empty shelves where they live. I'm already starting to see it here in Florida. There's a lot of places that are already beginning to have less and less on their shelves. Lola says yes. Carol Jane says yes. Carrie says empty. Aunt Nancy says yes. LS Poet says yes. Marilyn says, I go to 3 different grocery stores to get what I need. And the reason why you're starting to see empty shelves everywhere you go is because they've created a supply chain crisis. You know how all these governments have been paying people to not work? Well, guess what? People stopped working. And when people stop working, the entire supply chain that our world depends upon begins to stop. And right now in California, there's 500,000 containers on 90 different ships that cannot be unloaded because there's nobody to unload them. And then there's nobody to take these packages and put them on trucks. And there's not enough truck drivers to drive the trucks to the stores. So where did this supply chain crisis come from? From the same people who locked you down last year. From the same people who are mandating that you take a vaccine, whether you want it or not, whether you need it or not. It's all from the same people. It's all from the New World Order. And it's one endless series of calamities after the other. How about this one? How many of you have heard about the super cold? 6 hours ago on BBC News, they ran this story. Is the worst cold ever coming around? They're calling it the super cold. And they are warning you that this is the worst cold that you will ever catch. Kind of interesting how it comes around halfway through year number two of COVID-19. And it's kind of funny how there was not one case of the flu last year, but now they're telling you, well, you better double up on your vaccinations. You better get the flu vaccine at the same time you get the COVID vaccine. We've been writing about the flu vaccine for a long time now. We told you about the 10-year-old girl who was left speechless on a feeding tube because her parents gave her a flu shot. We told you about the Las Vegas man who got a flu shot, went blind, became partially paralyzed, and then he spent 4 days on a ventilator in the emergency room. We told you that back in 2018. And now these same people, because they need to keep you in fear, they need to keep you running from one crisis to the next crisis. Now, back in 2018, the very same year that I did that story on the Las Vegas man, I caught the flu. And I've shared this with you before. It was the worst sickness in my adult life that I ever had. And I felt really, really, really bad. Couldn't get out of bed for 8 days. So, did I rush out and get a flu vaccine? No, I did not. When flu season came in 2019, did I go and get a flu shot because I had the flu so badly in 2018? I did not. Having the flu, even as bad as I had it, at no point made me feel that my life would be enhanced if I went out and got the flu shot. And I have never had a flu shot. I would never take a flu shot. They are bad. They are dangerous. And they have short-term consequences and they have long-term consequences. And I don't want any of that garbage in my system. So what did I do? I built my immune system up. That's what Shirley just said. So what can you do to protect yourself from the flu, from the super cold, from COVID, West Nile virus, the bird flu, you know, whatever. You're not going to find the answer in man-made chemicals, especially not man-made chemicals that are as untested and as unproven as the mRNA vaccine. My advice to you is to build up your immune system. Every day, you should be taking magnesium, you should be taking garlic, you should be taking vitamin C, D3, zinc, B-complex, and coenzyme Q10. Now, I take more than that, but those are the the bedrock foundation of what I take every single day. Magnesium, garlic, vitamin C, D3, zinc, B-complex, and CoQ10. And when you take those things, when you do those things, you are going to build your God-given immune system. J.C. Shane is saying, well, for starters, people should be eating better. You can't go to Taco Bell and McDonald's 5 days a week and think that you can undo the damage with a handful of vitamins, because that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen at all. You got to take care of your body. It says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. That's a really, really good place to start. And if you want to protect yourself from whatever the virus is and the bacterias and all the other sickness and disease and all that other stuff that goes on, that's what you need to do to protect yourself. Just a reminder, November 2nd, we will be having here at the bookstore. And for those of you that are going to be in town, we invite you to come. It's free, and we on November 2nd at 6:30 at night, we are going to have an original first edition 1611 King James Bible, and we invite you to come and be a part of that night. It's going to be a very, very special evening, and Brother Mike Whalen's going to give a short historical presentation on the history of the King James Bible, and we invite you to be a part of that. It's going to be a really, really good night. If you can't come, please pray for that night, that God would just bless it and bring a lot of new people into the bookstore. Also, please continue to pray for the brand new billboard that we launched in downtown St. Augustine. Pray that the people that will see that billboard will get saved, that they'll want to come into the bookstore. And please continue to support our outreaches, the NTEB Free Bible and Gospel Tract Program and the NTEB Gospel Witness Billboard Program. These things cost about, just taking a guess, but it's about $8,000 a month to do both those programs. It's very expensive, and we really need your support. We need your giving, and we need you to give generously so that we can keep doing these programs. And at the end of the year, I'm going to have a full and complete accounting and totaling of exactly how many Bibles, how many gospel tracts, that your support has sent out in 2021, and it's going to blow your mind. It really will. So thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your continued support. Could not do it without you. Happy birthday to Thomas Santos. Happy birthday to Jeanette. And Lord willing, we'll see you back here Sunday morning, 11 a.m., for another edition of the NTEB House Church Sunday Service. Have a great weekend, everybody.
The preachers are weary. The singers are tired. The church, as we know it, is losing its fire. Singers go sing, and laymen keep sharing that Jesus is King. The angels have gathered, they're surrounding the throne, and they'll start rejoicing for just one more soul. 'Cause it's just one more soul.